Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, April 20th. A proposal to allow state parks to increase fees and hunting and fishing licenses by up to 50% has cleared its first hurdle at the state capitol. Benta Berkland has more.
Park officials say an aging infrastructure, more visitors, and cuts from the state budget are putting a severe dent on resources. Under House Bill 1321, an annual park pass would increase from $70 to $87, and a daily fishing license would go up from $8 to $12. Bob Broscheid is the director of the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Division. He says fees haven't increased in more than a decade.
The dollar is just not going far enough. It'd be like you're living off your wages of 2005.
Republican Representative Yulin Willett of Grand Junction joined Democrats to support the bipartisan measure, but he and others also want to expand who foots the bill to maintain parks and wildlife.
I've actually had biking groups starting to reach out to me to ask, how can we do our fair share? Not just bikers, but runners, hikers, rock climbers.
The bill would set up a council to study that issue and give recommendations to lawmakers. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Lawmakers are considering a bill that would help fill many teaching vacancies in rural schools, as well as help students afford a college education. Eric Galatis has this story.
A new bill introduced in the Colorado House would give graduating teachers a financial incentive to teach in the state's struggling rural districts and also help middle-class families put away money to send their kids to college. A recent Denver Post report found some 3,000 teaching slots are at risk of going unfilled in Colorado, in part because fewer teachers are graduating. Allie Michelson with the Colorado Fiscal Institute says HB 1324 would help recruit and retain educators by offering a 5-year tax credit if they teach in rural districts.
The point of having a 5-year tax credit is it allows them to put some roots down in that area and hopefully stay there for life and become a part of that community and really make a difference teaching there.
Student teachers would get a one-time refundable tax credit of $2,500 for tuition costs, and after graduating would get an additional $15,000 in credits if they complete 5 years in rural districts. Michelson adds the measure would end up paying for itself and generate additional revenue because of a shift in how the state encourages families to save for college. Colorado's current 529 college savings plan almost exclusively benefits families earning more than $100,000 a year, people who can already afford to send their kids to college. Michelson says increasing deductions for middle-income families and lowering deductions for the state's wealthiest would give more Coloradans access to higher education.
And what's really important about this bill is it reaches a group that we call the donut hole group, who maybe make a little too much money to receive financial aid, but not enough money to afford the ever-increasing cost of college every year.
Taxpayers who earn less than $100,000 a year would get double what they put into the 529 savings plan in the form of a tax deduction. Top earners would get lower deductions as their income brackets rise. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
A measure that would allow people as young as 21 to serve in the state legislature got its first hearing at the State House yesterday. As Benta Berkland reports, right now the age limit is 25.
Colorado is in the minority nationwide. About a dozen states allow 18-year-olds to run for the State House. Other places, the age is 21, and some states have no age limits. Democratic Senator Mike Merrifield of Colorado Springs says lowering the age limit is the fair thing to do.
We give a lot of responsibilities to young people, yet they don't have an opportunity to have an input on the legislation that creates these responsibilities. I think it's an unfair disadvantage.
Some opponents worry that 21-year-olds don't have enough life experience. Because this proposal would change the state constitution, it requires a 2-thirds vote in each chamber to pass, not just a simple majority. It would then go before voters in 2018. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The state commission, tasked with preserving Amtrak's Southwest Chief Route, is poised to officially expand its mission. From KRCC in Colorado Springs, Holly Pretzky reports.
The Southwest Chief Commission was set to sunset this summer. A new bill passed in the State House extends its life and expands it to begin exploring possibilities for a new Front Range rail service. Pueblo County Commissioner Sal Pace chairs the state committee. He says investing in passenger rails has proven to be good for the economy.
Across the country, as people have created new passenger rail or light rail stops, the areas around those stops have seen significant economic growth.
Pace says as Colorado's population increases, passenger rail is becoming necessary, even as the state plans to widen I-25. The bill now goes to Governor John Hickenlooper for his signature. For 91.5 KRCC News, I'm Holly Pretzky.
According to a press release, the Delta Police Department will be participating in the 13th National Prescription Drug Takeback Day on Saturday, April 29th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Delta Police Department, located at 215 West 5th Street in downtown Delta. There are a few items that cannot be accepted in the take-back program, such as all needles and sharps, mercury thermometers, oxygen containers, chemotherapy radioactive substances, any kind of pressurized canisters, and illicit drugs. All other prescription and non-prescription medications are acceptable. Make sure the lid is tightly secured on all liquid substances. This is an anonymous program, so please remove all of your personal information from any labels. Delta Police Department will not be able to take early or late drop-offs for this program. All drop-offs must be brought to the police department during the scheduled hours on the day of the event. And finally today, there has been a rapid increase in car thefts in Montrose. The Montrose Daily Press reports that since January 1st, 36 cars have been stolen in Montrose. 18 of those vehicles have been recovered. 3 vehicles were stolen in a 4-day stretch last week. At some time after 7 p.m. April 15th, a 2010 white Ford Fusion was stolen from the 1800 block of Pavilion Drive. On April 13th, the owner of a 2000 Toyota Sienna reported it stolen from the 700 block of Cedar Creek Avenue. The third theft last week was of a tan 2002 Toyota Avalon from the 200 block of South 3rd Street. Authorities do not believe the car thefts are related. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.